next time, Total Domination from Total Network Solutions.
And it's no nay never, no nay never no more, 'cause I'll stay a while to over forever and more. And it's no nay never, no nay never no more, 'cause I'll stay.
Hello and welcome to By Far the Greatest Team, a football podcast in which fans attempt to do the seemingly impossible, to rank once and for all who are greatest teams of all time. My name's Graham Dunn. I will be endeavouring to get Oxford United reference in at every opportunity, and joining me in our data nerve centre, it's Jamie Rooney.
Well, the nerves are going. Total Network Solutions, never when we compiled the list of teams we were going to talk about was Total Network Solutions on there as a team to cover. But here we are covering them. So the nerves are ticking away just for this one. It's just, I feel we've stepped outside our comfort zone and we're challenging ourselves. And we've not even been prepared and brave enough to bring a TNS guest on. But I guess there aren't that many TNS fans, as we're about to find out.
Yes, and I suppose, I mean, Total Network Solutions, the plus side of it is, as our data nerve center, you're very much attached to the grid here. I feel it's kind of, it feels a very apt name for them. And, you know, let's not make any bones about it. We are doing Total Network Solutions because of the unbelievable name. But what is quite interesting around it is, you know, not only the story and circumstances to how they got that name, but there are some pretty incredible records around this club.
There are some amazing records. I mean, this is a major football club in its own entire league system that it plays in, and they are the dominant force that regularly, as we're about to find out, qualify for European football competitions. But before we get into the incredible story of sponsors naming football teams, you remember last week and the week before, we've talked about the longest football match of all time, mm-hmm. where we had great Michael Lewis on talking about the Rochester Lancers and the 176 minute winner, which is fantastic. And then we learned last week that Doncaster Rovers and Stockport County played out the longest game in history, 203 minutes. So I just thought, for balance, it's probably important to share what we believe is the shortest football game in history as well. But before I share that, I can't help but want to quiz you. And do you know what that game could be, Graham?
So the shortest game. I'm trying to think of some circumstances under which you wouldn't have 90 minutes. So it has to be a game that, I can't imagine any designated game, any proper league game that could be less than 90 minutes, unless... So maybe it's a game that got curtailed because of circumstances, crowd actions. I'm thinking maybe the prisoner of war versus the German military escape to victory, because that game finished early, didn't it?
I mean, it's one of the greatest games in history. 4-4 played over a period of, I think, about 14 minutes with lots of cuts and the great Michael Caine doing his thing for West Ham and the Allies. It's not that one, but I like your thinking. You're kind of thinking around games that would have been abandoned for potential weather reasons. If I was to tell you the shortest game in history was 3 seconds as a clue, would that help you?
Okay, three seconds. So it must mean the token. It must mean a token game. It's not part of our own goal classic, is it? But it must be something in that kind of system. A three second protest game. So they obviously just kicked off and finished. You're gonna have to give me
nailed it there.
Gonna have to give me more.
It is a protest game. They did kick off and finish. It was held in the European Championships, and it involved one of the teams from the United Kingdom.
Oh, my word, this is impressive. It was Scotland, wasn't it? Was it Scotland?
Graham, you're leading yourself down to the right answer. It was Scotland. Scotland versus Estonia.
Go on. This is. I've got some vague memories of this.
So Scotland travelled to Tallinn, Estonia in 1996 to play a qualifier for the World Cup. And Craig Brown was manager at the time of Scotland, and they trained on the pitch prior to the game the night before. And Craig Brown was pretty disappointed with the level of lighting on the pitch, and he felt it could endanger the players because it was insufficient. The floodlights didn't do the job of what a floodlight should do, which should be illuminate, and they were doing the reverse of that. And when you look at YouTube videos, he looks absolutely right. So Scotland protested, FIFA came out, they checked, the protest was withheld, and so they changed the kickoff time from the original 7:45 in the evening to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, to which the Estonians protested because they wanted to play at the original time. So Scotland, in full kit, turned up with the officials, 800 strong of the Tartan Army inside the stadium, the Katariru, as we do the pronunciation stuff on this thing, stadium. The referee blows the whistle. They kick off. John Collins knocks the ball forward, does a wonderful two-fisted celebration, and the game is over. 3 seconds, the shortest game in the history of football.
Wow, that is impressive. From what I'm reading here, there was an attendance of 1,000 people at that game as well.
It's impressive, which is incredible when we're going to talk about Total Network Solutions, who don't even get anywhere near that for winning leagues and competing in European competitions.
Excellent. 3 seconds. 3 seconds. Well, that definitely does beat 176 minutes. So there we go. We've given you the longest and the shortest. So, yes, we are delving into Total Network Solutions. Now, as the name would suggest, there isn't actually a town or a city or a village called Total Network Solutions. So I'm handing this gauntlet over to you, first of all. Who is this originally?
So originally, there's a village in Wales, North Wales, around 20 kilometres south of Wrexham, about 25 kilometres north of Shrewsbury, called Clan Santhraid Yen Menchin. I think that's the Welsh pronunciation.
Yeah, impressive.
I've spent a bit of time in Wales. It could be still wrong. So the village of Clan Santhraid, which basically means Church of the St. Bride Clan in Wales, is a widely used name in lots of towns and cities in Wales, and it basically translates in English as church. So a village team, about 1,000 people in this village, competed in the Monmouthshire area in terms of league football. And then around about the early 90s, there's talk of forming a League of Wales. That gets formed. Clan Santhraid, the village, a part of that league. They actually do well at the beginning as well. I think they take a championship. And then soon after that, a savvy businessman, Mike Harris, who was the owner of Total Network Solutions, got wind of the possibility of buying or sponsoring the team, which he did, and then took them over. And then the history of the team started to grow. And they're no longer, as we're going to discover, they're no longer based in Clan Santhraid. They're no longer based in Wales. They actually moved to Oswestry in England.
And so Total Network Solutions emerge. And this is quite an unusual thing, isn't it? I mean, they end up taking the team name. So this is more than any regular kind of sponsorship. We've seen sponsorships before, but this is taking it to a new level, isn't it?
Yeah, I think part of the deal when Harris purchased Clan Santhraid, the village team, part of the deal was to have ownership on naming rights. And in the first season, they are called Total Network Solution Clan Santhraid. But that's the season afterwards, that's dropped off completely, and they are total network solutions. And it is incredible because I mean, clearly we try to find out little nuggets of detail. I can't find anywhere in the history of football, and I'm definitely open to being updated on this by our listeners, I can't find anything where a football team has changed its name to the sponsor. Now, there are loads of instances where sponsorship has played a part in the name, famously Red Bull. They have a lot of football teams. They're a franchise. They do have the suffix or prefix, sorry, Red Bull attached to most of their team names, but their team name still has an identity of where it's from. Total Network Solution. I mean, throw a dart at the map of the UK and you could be anywhere near it. You could be a million miles from it. As Jeff Stelling famously quipped, they'll be dancing in the streets of Total Network Solutions tonight, which is a brilliant joke, by the way.
It is impressive. So the Red Bull one is quite interesting because RB Leipzig is the one that's quite often flagged, but the RB actually doesn't stand for Red Bull, does it? The RB is Rasen Bull Sport or something like that, from what I can tell.
Absolutely. Again, it's marketing from a Red Bull perspective, because even if you look at their badge, RB Leipzig, it looks like you're looking at a tin of Red Bull.
There are some other teams around the world where this has been. I was staggered to find out one that hadn't occurred to me was actually a company brand name, was Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah, this is fascinating because this is really the history of the game where I'm picking here. Bayer Leverkusen, a pharmaceutical company, Bayern, in the area of Leverkusen, and Bayer has absolutely nothing to do with Bayern, which I think translates as Bavaria in German in terms of Bavaria, Munich. Bayer is a pharmaceutical company similar to PSV Eindhoven, as we know and best, Philips. This traces itself all the way back to the origins of the game. And having teams named after working outfits is not an unusual thing. I mean, if I just think close to where I am in terms of the team that I follow, Newton Heath, Lancashire and Yorkshire Railway, men, that was a working team. That was a working men's team. We still have some in existence today. There's a football team called, not too far from Total Network Solutions, called Cadbury Athletic FC, which is based in Bourneville, and no surprise, they make some sweet chocolate delights.
It's a fascinating world, and it also reminded me of some of those early ways of trying to get the sponsor involved in it, which one of my favourites was Coventry City, and Jimmy Hill's always way ahead of the curve. And this is back in the days of the argument as to before you had the shirt sponsors, and Coventry City in about 1981, something like that. We know it was in the early 80s because there was still a thriving car company called Talbot at that stage. Coventry City came up with this fantastic way around the ban by basically coming up with a kit design which was the Talbot logo. Which is absolutely brilliant. It's basically got this fantastic T in the middle of the shirt. I mean, the shirt is absolutely fantastic. It's a thing of beauty, I think. But such was the situation at the time that basically whenever the Coventry appeared and their game was going to be, you know, one of the games or match of the day, or maybe they're playing Middlesbrough away and they're going to be on a score in. Well, shoot, was it? It was shoot. It was shoot. It was shoot in the northeast. Whenever they're going to be on the TV, they couldn't wear that kit. So it is a thing of glory. That shirt in particular. I will put some pictures of it on the social. But that was where you're starting to see. And in the end, the TV companies eventually kind of gave in, and that's when you started seeing Hitachi and Sharp and all those early JVC, all those early sponsors.
Yeah, it's really the birth of advertising, isn't it? I mean, advertising has been in football for a longer period than that. If you just think back to some of the World Cups that we've seen, you've got the wonderful martini advertised around the football pitch. So, and whilst you've got the masses and the crowds that are attracted to football, you're always going to have people that are going to be interested in the commercial possibilities of what they can actually make from that. So it was the resistance in the early 80s from the groups that didn't want to see sponsorship on shirts was futile, because it was always going to happen.
So the sponsorship arrives, but in Wales, we see the arrival of Total Network Solutions, which I think probably the thing about that name is that it is so obviously a company name. You know, it just can't be anything else.
100%. It's not only is it a company, I'm pretty confident without knowing nothing about them, they do IT networks as well, some form of infrastructure. But it was bizarre because it was one of those things in the psyche that you just, you grow up watching the big match and the precursor to Sky Sports Soccer Saturday, which used to be like a mainstay growing up in my house. You have that on a Saturday afternoon. And you'll hear Total Network Solutions, and you couldn't help but double take. It's Total Network Solutions. It is, I mean, in terms of football names, it's one of the most bizarre sounding football names that there ever has been. But I guess there was a plan behind it. And the guy, Mike Harris, who acquired it, clearly saw an opportunity to maximize the potential of the Welsh League. And by virtue, get into European football, because there is a prize at the end of the season. If you finish in the top spot or the top couple of spots where you win the Welsh Cup, you can then go into European football. So we set about turning Total Network Solutions into a professional outfit from the very beginning, even though it's in an amateur league, which primarily the Welsh League is an amateur league. It's only been in existence since 1992. And the players generally will be doing jobs on the side of playing football for their local towns and cities. Total Network Solutions had an opportunity to grow their fan base potentially, but definitely grow their potential profile by playing in Europe's competitions.
And it doesn't take TNS long before they start having an impact, doesn't it? It's 96, 97 that they get involved. And I think by 1999, do they win their first Welsh Premier League?
They do. 1999-2000, they win their first Premier League. It entitles them to go into the Champions League, the qualifying games that are generally played in late June, early July. And they fall at the first third, or they play an Estonian football team. They come out of the first leg with a creditable draw, but they get stuffed in the second leg. But the touch paper's been lit. Tele Network Solutions are now in European football. And that was the goal, I think, for Mr. Harris from the very beginning when he purchased the football team.
That is the first title. Things don't immediately take off, but fast forward to 2004-05, we then see this just extraordinary run of success. So 99-2000, they haven't won any titles. By 2004-05, they win their second title, and last year they won their 15th title, and they basically won. Is it right they've either finished first or second in every year except one, I think, in the last 20 years or 19 years?
Yeah, you're right. It's 2008, 2009, they finished third. But just before they win their first championship in 2004-2005, they're getting close. They were runners-up for three seasons in a row before they win that first championship. So they're clearly building. They're acquiring the right type of players. Generally, they're acquiring players through the loan system or free transfers, but they do have the financial clout if they do want to invest in a player. And just to kind of give it some context, I really don't know where the League of Wales stacks if you were to compare it to the English football pyramid. I definitely don't think it's conference level. I think the conference level has a far superior quality. I don't believe it would be Conference North or Conference South. And I have to confess, I'm not a big watcher of those particular leagues, so I don't really know the standard greatly. So I'm just basing this on my own kind of football know-how. But I think the League of Wales is probably around about the seventh or eighth tier, as we like to call them, Graham, in the English football pyramid. So it kind of makes sense that the new Saints or Telenetwork, sorry, it makes sense that Total Network Solutions play in the League of Wales, because they're not going to get a look in if they go into the English Football League system, as some Welsh teams are, as we know, with, you know, Cardiff, Newport, Wrexham, Swansea and Merthyr Town. They all play and have continued to play in the English football pyramid.
And it's also worth saying that they are mostly the only professional side in the Welsh Premier League. I think Barry Town were professional for a period of time. But so clearly they do have an advantage.
It's always an advantage if you can pay your playing staff and they can train for more hours in the week than your opponent, and you can acquire the best players because you've got the financial clout. It's not rocket science. It's how football works. And in this very kind of micro league of Wales, everything we see in the game in many quarters of the world is happening right there in Wales. The best players are being attracted with the best salaries at that particular level, and they're trading more often than their opponents.
But just their record is extraordinary. This run of them, where they win the title for 8 consecutive years between 2011 and 2019. A couple of fallow years that follow, but they've won the league in the last 2 seasons as well. So it is a period of quite some dominance.
It is, and there's like, I think there's something in the old adage that the more you're used to winning, the more you want to keep winning, because the 2019-2020 season, which was interrupted through COVID, there was, the way the Welsh league system is set up is that it's not just a linear system where you play every team twice and whoever finishes top, they kind of, similar to how they do in Scotland, they break the league up into what would be the finale, the kind of the top teams may play, just the top teams and the bottom teams play just the bottom teams. And they had to, I think the league then in 2019-2020, because it couldn't be completed for COVID, it had to be decided on the average of points, of which the argument from Total Network Solutions, or the New Saints as they were called properly then, was that they deserved to win the championship, even though they didn't take the championship in that particular year. So they've got this kind of hunger, this greed. They've won 8 on a bounce, and they're desperate to get their 9th. It's not like they want to let the 9th one go.
So I think, and you alluded to it really, one of the reasons Total Network Solutions got on our radar is European football, isn't it? I think that's where the name is known. And here, I suppose, you've got the great contradiction of this club, which is, on the one hand, you know, has this massive advantage in its home league and is, you know, a relentless winner and favourite every season. And then it pits them in Europe's Champions League, where they are relentlessly minnows.
They really are. They will be entering into the Europa League, or the UEFA Cup, as it was called previously, or the Cup Winners' Cup when they had a rare foray into that, or the Champions League, which they were in multiple times. They went into the first or the second qualifying phase, and there'll be multiple rounds to get to the playoff, which then take you into the group stage. And yeah, ultimately, they would just fail. They would fall at the first hurdle. But it's really important for football teams that have a low coefficient in UEFA, like the League of Wales. And the League of Wales is ranked in the bottom 5 in terms of UEFA's coefficients, in terms of the quality of his league. For development, you have to be in the best tournaments or the biggest tournaments if you want your teams and your players to develop. And we've seen this in international football. You know, 10, 15 years ago, the teams like Luxembourg would be, i.e. go back 30, 40 years, Norway would be getting beat on a regular basis. These teams are now competing in the top, you know, 3-4 positions in the UEFA competitions. So if you want to compete and you want to improve, you have to go into these European competitions. And if you look at the history of Total Network Solutions that then became the New Saints, they do improve. They're in Europe on a regular basis and they do get better. But being in Europe is fantastic, and they meet some massive heavyweights. And I can just see on a couple occasions when they lined up against Premier League opposition, the marketing opportunities must have been absolutely massive.
Definitely so. And what's clear is that Mike Harris and Total Network Solutions are quite savvy when it comes to marketing opportunities. And the 05-06 season is particularly interesting. So that was the year that Liverpool had won the Champions League the year before, but had finished outside the top places, which as far as UEFA was concerned, was just something that couldn't happen. It was inconceivable that the best team in Europe may not finish in the top four of their own football league. And this left this big kind of dilemma as to what to do. Liverpool had to be in the league to defend their crown, but there was no way of getting them in. Once that whole debate was going on, and very impressively, TNS offered and volunteered to play a playoff against Liverpool. I'm not really sure how that would have worked, but they basically offered to, we'll put our place up for grabs. We'll play them. And which then, as it turned out, who should TNS draw in the first qualifying round of the European Champions League anyway?
It is one of those weird quirks in football. I mean, firstly, your point about UEFA not considering that the team that actually wins the Champions League might not qualify. So they changed the rules shortly after that, where the team that did win the Champions League had automatic qualification into the Champions League. And now if you win the Europa League, you get automatic qualification into the Champions League group phase. So you got this Liverpool rule that comes into play. But yeah, out of a hat, Total Network Solutions will play number whatever, Liverpool, the defending champions of Europe.
I mean, those games, and it's pretty respectable, isn't it? I mean, on the one hand, that is almost, I mean, it's not a local derby, but it's not a million miles away, is it?
Yeah, it's in that proximity. You're right. It's about 20 kilometres from Wrexham, so it's going to be about 40 kilometres from Liverpool, 40, 50 kilometres from Liverpool. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a Total Network Solutions fan, you're kind of welcoming your local rivals down to the pathway to play your game.
So the games are actually surprisingly close with one thing or another.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the games and I'm probably never going to watch the games, but the scoreline suggests it's not too bad. It is a credible 3-0 defeat in both legs, 6-0 on aggregate. And Liverpool they weren't taking any chances with squad selection. It was Benitez, the manager at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, Benitez at the time.
Yeah, so Benitez wasn't taking any chance with squad selection. You've got Dieter Hamann, Sami Hyypiä, John Arrieta, Bode Zenden, Jamie Carragher, Xabi Alonso, Lee Finnan, Pepe Reina, the goalkeeper. This guy isn't taking any chances that the pre-season is still kind of happening for the Liverpool fans. Maybe they're on that kind of stereotypical classic beach mentality and they're not taking their opponents serious. And he even has a fairly strong bench with Steven Gerrard and Garcia on the bench as well. But what an experience for the players. We've already alluded to where the Welsh League sits in the English tier, and we're probably guessing around about tier six, tier seven. Best case scenario, to be lining up against those type of players and to be going to Anfield to play a football match, it must have been just an incredible experience. And it really does kind of bake itself into the idea that this is the development. You're going to have a taste for it. You're going to want it again. You're going to want to taste more of that. So the importance of qualifying for Europe and having those potential ties and being savvy with the marketing, completely get it. Because you wouldn't, in the first qualifying round of the Champions League, you would never normally face a team like Liverpool. They wouldn't even come close to entering that particular phase. So it is a fantastic opportunity for the players. And I can only imagine what experience they got from that.
And obviously it's in that classic sort of pre-season territory. The games were played in July, so I suppose for Liverpool they'd been treating it as part of their pre-season routine. But the first leg at Anfield, there's 44,000 fans at that game. It's like extraordinary. Steven Gerrard hat trick. You know, as you say, this isn't Jurgen Klopp's kids winning the League Cup. This is kind of a proper side.
Yeah, it really is. It just is a fantastic experience for them. And you can only imagine that they want more. So the determination to win the championship again, to have the opportunity to play a team like Liverpool again, is just an incredible carrot dangling in front of them to achieve greatness in their small football league, which they're entitled to be the best at when they've got the best resources.
Now, it takes them a while, doesn't it? It's another couple of, in a couple of years' time, they get their first victory. So they beat FK Ventspils, not entirely clear, but they beat them 3-2 at home. They lose the away leg 2-1 and so go out on away goals. So, you know, that's getting pretty close. And, you know, it takes them to 2010-11 when they do, in fact, qualify through the first round for the first time, which is a real kind of statement of intent. They beat Bohemians in the Irish team, only to end up losing it to Anderlecht. So, you know, it's sort of a classic name of end European competition.
It is, and it kind of just, I kind of pull myself back to it again. It's like, it's the development of the football team. In their first 10-11 seasons in European football competition, they win one game. They win one game out of 33. In their next 10-11 seasons, if you want to equate that, they go on and win 10 games. So there's the improvement. And if you want to even extend that even further, they go on in their next 10-11 seasons and they continue to win more games than 10. So there is this continuity of improvement. And if you're looking, if you kind of boil it down to a balance sheet or a trend, and you're looking at the overall quality of the team in Europe in terms of results only, you can see a trend that's upwards, and you could probably feel optimistic that maybe in 10 years' time, the new Saints, as they will be called, unless Total Network Solutions buy them back and rename the club again, will potentially be in a group stage of the Conference League or the Europa League, not the Champions League. But that's the beauty of the Champions League. If you're in the Champions League and you go out in the early stages, you get a second bite of the cherry because you fall into the Europa League. So the way that these European competitions are designed is that there are opportunities to get through to the group stage. And when you're in the group stage, suddenly the League of Wales is a profile.
It definitely is. Now, you've mentioned it a couple of times that Total Network Solutions become the new Saints eventually. And of course, this is one of the things you're not really ready for in supporting a team, is that the company that sponsors you gets bought themselves. And for whatever reason, British Telecom decide they don't want to necessarily be associated or take on the sponsorship of this Welsh football club.
No, it happens pretty properly as well. BT obviously is part of their contract. I've been part of a company that's been bought by British Telecom, and it's not a great experience because BT have weight, they have power, and they use it with force in some occasions. So I can imagine that on the table in the contract terms was right. Yeah, so the name, what are we going to do about that? Because you're not going to be called that any longer.
And so they had to come up with a new name. So what is the fundamentals of Total Network Solutions? Is it Total? Is it Network or Solutions? They actually base it around the initials of TNS, which does make some sense. And during this, that name kind of, the name they pick, which is the New Saints, does kind of make some sense because in the intervening period, Total Network Solutions have also merged with another club, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. I think we should just go back to the name change as well, because it's quite interesting. It's like, this is 2006, so there's a lot going on. The internet has changed the shape of everything we do, and there are loads of new businesses that have popped up that are changing the way that we shop. And one of those ways that we shop is eBay. eBay, as a option to sell stuff, empowers individuals to sell anything they like. And so the actual team name is brilliant what they've done, because they've kept the initials TNS, Total Network Solutions, and they come up with the New Saints, as we know. So they've kept the initials. So I get the marketing creativity behind that. But they actually put the name up for sale on eBay, which causes a bit of a stir. And it's also a question about whether there's some collusion involved in terms of, like, you know. But I just find the brilliance of putting your football team names on sale on eBay. And I couldn't help, as we do on these things, venture down the rabbit holes of what are some of the weirdest things that have ever been sold on eBay? And in the football world in particular, do you know about the time where Tranmere Rovers were put on sale on eBay?
No.
This is fantastic. So Peter Johnson, the owner of Tranmere, for quite some time, actually, in around about 2009, he had decided that for whatever reason, he wanted to go off to Europe, Switzerland, and enjoy the rest of his life as a wealthy man. So he commissioned a US company, Donick Capital, to find a buyer for Tranmere Rovers. So he's employed this firm and entrusted them to find a buyer. So Donick Capital, in terms of like their search for a buyer, put Tranmere Rovers Football Club on eBay for sale for £6 million, stadium included, with free postage and packaging, but no returns. They did this without consulting Peter Johnson or anywhere at Tranmere Rovers. They just made the decision without any consultation that this was going to happen. So no surprises once that Tranmere Rovers and Peter Johnson in social media had got all over it, it came off eBay and it was no longer available to buy for the average Joe consumer.
I could just imagine that drunken eBay bid. Somebody's put in, oh God, I think I might have bought Tranmere Rovers last night. I was bidding on something and I just got a bit carried away.
It's just remarkable that you've brought in a firm to do this job. And clearly, as I've alluded to, eBay had been around for a while, but it was still a fairly new concept in 2006. Mm. I mean, let's not forget, smartphones weren't even invented in 2006. We were still using our BlackBerries. The first kind of real smartphone was the Apple iPhone, which I think came out in 2008. So things are still fresh. Things are still new. So I can just imagine what was going on inside that US company. It's like, well, we've got to sell this team from England. Oh, which team is it? Tranmere Rovers or something? Oh, I've never heard of them. Who are they? I have no idea. I don't know anything about them. How are we going to sell them? What about eBay? People buy anything on eBay these days. And that's a great idea. Let's put them on eBay. What are we going to throw in? Let's throw in the stadium. Should we charge for postage and packaging? No, I think we're a step too far.
No, order.
How are you going to package up Prenton Park? What if we need to ship it to Australia?
It's too good. So so they did come up with a new name for the club, and they did come up with the new Saints. And that does reflect both the heritage of, I'm not going to pronounce it, you pronounce it, the heritage of the original club, which was known as the Saints, but also that of Oswestry, yes, nearby Oswestry, which the two teams merge in, I think, 2003. So Oswestry Town combine and merge there, which adds further strength to that club. And the new Saints are born.
The new Saints are born, and in an area of the British heartland where football doesn't fully capitalise on the masses, it's in a strange area. And you've got Wrexham just up the road, as we mentioned, and you've got Liverpool and Manchester not far from that. You've got Birmingham just down the road. It's a strange area for football teams to thrive. Almost impossible, I would say now, for the new Saints to thrive with what's going on at Wrexham, as the great Mark Griffiths explained to us, you know, the giddy journey they've been on for the last 2 years, and they seem to be continuing. But it is quite interesting, because what's happened is that you've got a football team in a village of a thousand people actually. So the football team will mean something to somebody, and it's going to be low numbers. They've then seen their football team, Clan San Fred, renamed to Total Network Solutions. So there's going to be a bit of displeasure about that. So they've seen a few championships, and that may pacify them. But, you know, when you're on the terraces in the couple of hundred you used to go watch them, and you're chanting, come on, Clan San Fred, it doesn't really ring as well when you're going, come on, Total Network Solutions. I don't even know what football songs you can apply to Total Network Solutions. I think that's one to think about for a minute.
Yeah. I just imagine that people's heart sinks when somebody at the back of the stand shouts, give me a tea.
Oh, not him again. But then you've got another rarity in football. So we had the incredible rarity that a sponsor's name is now the name of the football team. We've then got this other rarity where you're moving the football team to a different location. Now, we can think of more examples where this has happened, but I like to think of the examples where it hasn't happened. And I feel that there's a possibility that, you know, you could become, instead of having your Oxford United paraphernalia there, and you've been unusually quiet about Oxford United references in this particular podcast episode, you could actually be a Thames Valley Royals fan, I believe, Graham, because of a potential move of your beloved Oxford United.
The Thames Valley Royals, a move which was greeted with absolute horror by both Oxford and Reading fans. This was Robert Maxwell's fantastic idea. Where do we just merge these two struggling teams? They're both struggling at the time. I mean, clearly, football fans were not ready for this. But I think it was the name that was the worst part of it. You could see where the Royals came from. The Thames Valley part, just what a disaster. But it's an absolutely fascinating story, and it got quite a long way down the road, and it was a kind of really sharp-eyed Reading fan, I think it is, or who's a shareholder. They basically messed up the contract around it, I think, or the terms of it, and they were able to force it out through that. So it was a real fan power thing that prevented it from happening in the end. And I think that's always why the Oxford-Reading rivalry, which was pretty fierce in the mid-80s, and at the time there were plenty of seats thrown out, as was the protest at the time. But I think it's why there's always been this slightly uneasy shared history between ourselves and Reading, which never quite feels like, is it a derby or is it not a derby? I think it's kind of, we were almost like stepbrother, stepsister, or, you know, it was a very strange arrangement. But yeah, Thames Valley Royals, not a glorious moment in any way whatsoever.
So it's very unusual for a team to be renamed after their sponsor. It's also unusual, but not completely exclusive, for a team to be relocated, as was happened with the Total Network Solutions team that are now become the New Saints, originally in a village called Clansanthred, and they moved to, basically they moved from Wales to England to Oswestry, 20 kilometres up the road. And I suppose the most famous one we can think of, and everyone will be thinking about right now, is when Wimbledon were moved from South London up to Milton Keynes. And that was a massive shift change in terms of how people handle football clubs. And whilst I feel fairly confident saying that the fans of Total Network Solutions are small and they're only going a 20-minute drive up the road, it probably wasn't as damaging as it would have been for a team like Wimbledon, with a great history, elected to the Football League in the 1970s, went through the divisions up to the main league, were a Premier League team for a while, famously won the FA Cup in 1988, and then shifted up to Milton Keynes, a new town, Graham, which is something that you've brought into these podcasts previously.
Always enjoy the new town aspects there. Yes, definitely. So, as you say, I suppose when there's slightly less heritage in that respect, it makes it easier to kind of make those changes. Also makes it easier to make those changes when be successful as the New Saints have been. And I think this is one of the extraordinary things about, you might think that Total Network Solutions is the most famous thing about this site, but they also, of course, unbelievably, and we were talking about the great Ajax side, and it is Ajax that up until 2016 held the record for the most consecutive league wins until our friends the New Saints turn up and produce a consecutive winning run of 27 games. So weirdly, there was a bit of contention about this, because there was a Scottish side had actually beaten that record earlier that season, but were not in the top tier of their country's league. So that wasn't considered eligible for the record. Whereas TNS in, you know, possibly a weaker league, but it is the top tier in Welsh football. So that record was eligible.
Yeah, it was. And it was substantiated by the Guinness Book of Records as well. I think they were there in the game where they beat the Druids, Sefyn Druids, one of the oldest football teams in Wales. I think they were come around about in 1872, playing in the Welsh League.
If you're called the Druids, you should be quite an aged side, shouldn't you?
Absolutely. I mean, here we are talking about clubs that are moving homes, and now we've got a team that doesn't even have a home. The Nomads. But yeah, so at Park Hall, the stadium, which is where the New States were playing, as they were called right then, TNS, as we know them, and we're kind of, you know, loving them as. The 27 games is incredible. No matter what league you're in, I think winning 27 matches is on the bounce is quite incredible. And credibility has to play part. It has to be for a world record, I guess, in a top league. But I can't help but thinking there are people out there now with marketing potential thinking, okay, can I buy a team in very low-level league where potentially I can invest a few million and then go on and beat this record by having the best players in the local area?
The other thing they do along the way, they have a record away win, which they get a 12-0 win at Airbus UK. This I do find this quite fascinating, and I find it fascinating that Airbus has a side. You know, this is because of my day job. I'm sort of relatively familiar with. In fact, I've been to the factory where the club is based off the back of, back in its British Aerospace or BAE Systems days. And this got me thinking about a few things. I mean, they actually have the same issue as Total Network Solutions, because over the years, Airbus has, you know, so Walker Sidley and BAE Systems and British Aerospace and ever. So the team name keeps changing as they keep going. But obviously, the side's got better and better. They ultimately become Airbus UK Broughtons. Airbus UK Broughton. Bit I really like about this is, you know, that's like a modern day factory. That is like an old school trade. And as you know, football nicknames are all traditionally based around that. So I love that Airbus UK are called the Wingmakers, because that's what they do. It's a great nickname for them. They make the wings for the Airbus planes. That kind of absolutely fits in. And you compare that to, you know, I don't think there's many people think of Wickham as the Chair Boys, unless you happen to know anything about Wickham's history in the furniture trade. You know, it's kind of, it's quite weird sort of seeing that an old school modern day nickname. But that, of course, then does beg the question, what should have been the nickname of Total Network Solutions?
Oh, I mean, football nicknames is a whole bucket of oddity, really, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, we had the wonderful Ian Ward telling us that the Baggies, West Bromwich Albion, the nickname isn't the Baggies. It's the Frussels. Was it the Frussels?
Yes.
Frussels, yeah. I mean, who knew that? I mean, you have to be a pretty diehard fan to know these things. But yeah, what would Total Network Solutions nickname be? What a brilliant question. I guess it would be the Opportunists.
The high-speed infrastructure communications makers. I don't even know what they do.
The land connectors. The Wi-Fi enablers.
Yeah, who knows?
That's a good question. With Airbus UK, it is a brilliant name for a football club, and you're right, they have had a few names. But again, there is a difference between Total Network Solutions, which was an absolute name change to a company and organisation, where Airbus is, like many football teams that have been established through workplace, even to this day, the Metropolitan Police still compete in the English FA Cup. They exist. There are leagues. If you look at the Japanese league, when it really started to establish itself in the 1960s, the teams were called Hitachi and Mitsubishi. They're teams that they're companies that we recognize. They've now been rebranded into proper football teams in terms of a location, but they were works teams. And this is a very normal period of how football has moved from work, organizing themselves, moving into professional sports, attaching itself to a particular location and becoming that great entity. But Total Network Solutions sits outside that. It's unique.
The other thing for both those sides, of course, is when they played, when Total Network Solutions were playing in Europe, they couldn't, under UEFA's rules, they couldn't have the sponsorship name of the club. So they weren't, so they went in as TNS and Airbus UK. When they appeared in a European tournament, they were AUK Broughton. So, you know, it's a bit like, it is like PSV Eindhoven all over again. It's the same sort of effect.
But it's worth pointing out Total Networks, and we touched on it, how they've improved over time, Total Network Solutions, but in Europe, the New Saints. So Welsh football teams generally haven't done a massive amount in Europe. If we've got the brilliant stories about Cardiff City, who got to the quarterfinals of the Cup Winners Cup. It was in, I think, the 1960s. Mark Griffiths told us about the time where Wrexham beat Porto, where they weren't expected to, reaching the quarterfinals of the Cup Winners Cup as well. And I think Newport County have gone on, and they also got to, I think, the quarterfinals of the Cup Winners Cup in the early 80s, where they played Carl Zenz Yenga. Carl Zenz is an optical company. It's another works team. It kind of sits in the lower reaches of the German league system now, but they were once upon a time a works team with a proper work name. Carl Zenz, the manufacturers of camera lenses, most people will probably know as, competing in European competitions. But so we talked about TNS improving, and just to kind of give you some statistics, very, very high level, I did a rough calculation. So it's only around about a dozen times that Welsh teams from the Welsh Football League, or going back to when Welsh teams that sit outside the English system qualify for the Cup Winners' Cup. It's only around a dozen times that they've progressed into the second round. Generally, they fall at the first hurdle. And in terms of the games, it's around about 275 games, and Welsh teams have generally won about 16%, and they've generally lost about 69, 70%. TNS, their overall record is better than that, and it shows that they can potentially progress to the group stages of European competition. Their win ratio is 22%. So that's 6 points better than the history of Welsh football. And a lot of that has happened in the last 10, 15 years. Their loss ratio is 61%, which again is 8 points better than the history of Welsh football competing in Europe. So the trend is for the New Saints, I would be encouraged. I mean, we probably need to talk about the attendances and how they maximize their revenue streams, but being in Europe is definitely going to be one of them.
This is a side that is, you know, last year they won the league at almost a record early stage in March. They should, I should point out one of their star players, a free scoring here, the highest assist levels is their left winger who has one of my favorite footballers' name possible. It's the brilliantly named Ryan Brobble. So it's so close to being Ryan Babel. Ryan Brobble. So, I mean, that feels, you know, he's been very good for them, so I don't want to underestimate him, but that feels like a name which turns up in about Football Manager 2037 when you're kind of working your way through players. You know, I think Mike Harris is thinking, is talking about further investment. There's definitely, you know, the aim is still Europe. That is definitely the level it is operating at. There is this kind of, I suppose, disparity with that part, and also their position in the league, where, you know, they win very, very comfortably. They're not, from what I can tell, hugely popular in that league as a result of, I came across this extraordinary stat, which, and I suppose this is about underdogs and favourites and bits around that, but in the 2022-23 season, which for the record, The New Saints lose only one game all season. They finish with 26 wins out of 32 games, 83 points, a goal difference of just plus 95 there. They finish 22 points ahead of the second place team. They're doing pretty well. They're quite comfortable. Yet, in the 2022-2023 monthly awards, the Player and Manager of the Month awards, which are a combination of football fans and a panel of experts, I believe. I think the votes get put together. Not a single New Saints player or manager wins a single one of those awards. So I don't really know what's crazy going on there. But I am thinking perhaps amid the Welsh Premier League public that perhaps the New Saints, the love affair isn't quite so big.
On the surface, it's pretty easy to explain. They've changed the name to a sponsor. They've moved the team to a different location. They've moved out of Wales. They win all the time. And the owner, Mike Harris, who we've wrestled a few times, who we don't know and is probably a lovely guy, is very much in the public profile. If you go on YouTube, you can see lots of videos of him talking about TNS, the New Saints, and his ambitions for the club. So, I mean, the ingredients, knowing football fans the way that we know football fans, Graham, the ingredients is definitely there to make a very bitter cake.
You know, what's interesting is the, you know, from an attendances point of view, they're still relatively, I mean, they're not even the most well-supported side in the division, let alone, you know, there's still a remarkably small number of a relatively low average gates, isn't it?
Yeah, and it doesn't grow. They average around about 300 per game. And it's been like that for years, decades, even going back to their early championships is around about 280, 290. So it doesn't grow. And Bangor City and Aberystwyth Town and real, even Carnarvon, and obviously we mentioned as well, you know, Barry Town United, a better supported football teams. And even in recent times, a team called Flint Town United and Haverford West County are better supported than TNS, and then new teams that have come into the league. And now you've got Cardiff Metropolitan now in the league. So that's going to draw some interest from the capital city. So I don't know where TNS are going to get their fan base from. As we already mentioned, they're just down the road from Wrexham, and there's a lot of stuff going on at Wrexham right now that if you're interested in that area, you're probably not going to be popping down the road unless you're another US investment and you investor in your friends, personal friends with Ryan Reynolds, and you want to be neighbours, then maybe there's that opportunity. But I don't think Mike Harris would be relinquishing his control for any short price. Oswestry as a population is around about 17,000. And to give you some kind of context, in the Football League at the moment, there's only one team with a population, the English Football League, there's only one team with a population lower than that, and that's Forest Green Rovers. And they're right at the bottom of the Football League right now. They have a population around about 8,000. Forest Green have a turnover around about 8, 9 million a year. TNS is a million a year. I mean, it's small fry in terms of, I don't see how, with all the ambition of getting into Europe and having the profile, and even, you know, Mike Harris purchasing a local gin company, ring any bells with Ryan Reynolds, Aviation Gin? I mean, the parallels are fantastic, but the scale is chalk and cheese. I don't know where TNS, the New Saints, are going to get their fan base up. In the last 10, 15 years, they've not moved from around 300. They're still there now.
So we should probably get to the stage where we pass judgment and rank this side. It's really quite difficult, isn't it? As a reminder, of course, we have five categories of greatness, from all-time greats, right at the top, true greats, touch of greatness, edge of greatness, and blink of greats, plus our bonus category of not necessarily great, but without them, we wouldn't be where we are today. I mean, I sort of want to go with that bottom category, but I'm not quite sure where we are today.
I have a theory on this, and yeah, I'm struggling as well. I mean, ranking this team, it's almost like we need to create a seventh tier, a lower level tier for them. But I think we can find a place for them, and we will find a place for them. So they're massively successful in terms of winning championships. They've got this record winning streak, which is in the Guinness Book of Records, 27 games. They've grown incredibly well in terms of their stature. They've not grown in particularly well in terms of their popularity. But I think there's something different. There's something different about the New Saints or Total Network Solutions, and they do things different outside football. And so I'm going to rank them on the potential legacy of what football may become. And I can imagine this could irritate a lot of people, but this is just an idea, and I've got nothing to base it on other than our last 60 minutes of Total Network Solutions. I think we're moving into an era with television rights going to various streams, and one of those streams is Amazon Prime, who show football matches. Amazon are a massive organization. I think Total Network Solutions have opened up the door to the possibility of, as an example, an Amazon buying football teams and rebranding them as Amazon, insert name of where the location of that particular warehouse is, Amazon Milton Keynes. Wouldn't that be ironic? So I think, and it is, I'm probably clutching at straws. I think this football team is the first of what potentially could be something that's going to be very alien to football fans and something very different that would be totally unwelcome. But I think the door is open, and I wouldn't be surprised in 10 years' time as if Jeff Bezos and his men at Amazons with all their various trillions are looking to buy football franchises and renaming them the Amazon brand and playing in the Origin Black. So I, on that basis, I'm going to put them quite clearly in the not great, but we wouldn't be where we are without them tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Asterisk tomorrow. Yeah, interesting. I do think there is some mileage in that concept. It's difficult to know where you could put them in the other categories. And clearly, winning 14 titles in the last 18 years or something, going on the longest consecutive winning run in history, having kind of regularly, I sort of glossed over it, but the 12-0 win over Elba, you know, they got to 9 goals and they didn't give up. They, oh no, let's go and do it. Let's do the, let's go for ultimate humiliation and embarrassment. So there's a lot to be said for that, but the setting of it, and there is a bit of a sort of flat track bully element to their position. I sort of think they do have to be kind of outside those regular categories. So I think I'm happy to go down your route, because I don't think where else to put them. So let's put them in a kind of potential Black Mirror moment where it's pointing to a dystopian football, future of football supporting and the football game. And on that happy note, Total Network Solutions, TNS, the New Saints, or Amazon Osmer Street. Not necessarily great, but without them, we wouldn't be where we are today or possibly tomorrow. Yeah, I'm liking that. Excellent. Jamie, thank you for your time as ever.
Ah, thank you, Graham. This was I don't feel we've talked about an era of a team, which is probably the first time we've talked about a football team in its entirety. But I think for the purposes of our correspondence, I think we're looking down around about 2003 through to 2006 when they were playing the mighty Liverpool in the UEFA Champions League. It's been great fun and some great topics of football we've been able to bring into our little thing, and hopefully we can revisit them with a few guests later down the line.
It's certainly one of the more random ones we've done. Plenty of random facts there. As a reminder, you can see all the teams that we have ranked on our new look website, thegreatestteam.co, and you can find team sheets, you can find our slightly eclectic rankings and all the previous teams that we've covered over the years. A reminder, if you enjoyed the podcast, please do subscribe. Please like us. tell your friends, and we will be back next week.